Conversations with Authors podcast with me, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy. We've taken a few weeks off to regroup and record some fabulous new interviews, but this one is a bit different. Usually this podcast is an excuse for me to have a chat with another published author about what inspires them to write and how it's affected their life, and they always have lots of top tips for other authors too. But for this first episode in series 3, my guest on the show is me. But because it would be very boring to listen if I just interviewed myself, I've invited along the lovely Duncan Price of Mind Affinity to be the host. Duncan is a hypnotherapist who is excellent at putting people to sleep, and he also has his own podcast, the Mind Affinity Podcast, where he interviews some truly inspiring people. It's well worth a listen. So, on with the show.
Hi, I am Duncan from Mind Affinity, and I am here to interview Alison on her own podcast. Alison, thank you so much for choosing me and giving me the opportunity to come on and chat to you about you. It must be fun for you being in the other seat for a change.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous, actually. I'm starting to feel how other people feel when I put them under pressure in these interviews.
Good. Well, I'm sure you know me well enough to know I'm going to really pile the pressure on and make it as uncomfortable as possible, right?
Oh, definitely. That's why I chose you. I know you're a hardcore news reporter. That's what it is.
So let's ease the pressure by just jumping straight into it, because I know once you start talking about books, you'll instantly just, well, it's getting you to stop will be the challenge, right? So let's start in a logical place. Tell me about your books.
Okay, so I kind of have 2.5 books out at the minute and one that's about to come out. So the first book is called The Boy from Hell, Life of the Child with ADHD. Now, I've always wanted to write a book. And this one came about just because I wanted to write a book, basically. I was on a little mini coaching group with a dear friend of mine called Carrie Rose, who is sadly no longer with us. And she said, what's the one thing that you've always wanted to do? And I said, oh, do you know, I've always wanted to write a book. She said, well, what's stopping you? Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know what to write about and who's going to want to read it. And she said, well, you know, so what would you like to write a book about? And I said, well, do you know, when I was raising my son, he had ADHD and I read everything I could read, but it was all American or it was all written by doctors. And there was nothing written by someone like me, a mum in the UK. And I can remember thinking at the time, do you know, I really wish there was a book, you know, that kind of spoke to me. So she said, well, there you go then. That's the book you need to write. Okay, yeah. So I wrote this book, The Boy from Hell, which I know is a very controversial title. That was just going to be just this little book for me because I wanted to do it to prove to myself that I could do it. And it kind of went on to be quite successful, and it led on to some really exciting things that I'll probably tell you about later. So I wrote that, and so that was it. I'd written a book. You know, I'm the kind of person, I want to do something, I do something, and then I move on to the next thing. I was planning on writing a second book on ADHD, and I just wasn't feeling it, so I didn't bother. I did always want to write an erotic novel, so I have written an erotic novella, which is excruciatingly awful, but it's out there. I think it's got 3 1-star ratings on Amazon or something, so that says it all. I've also put together a journal. It's an ADHD and ASD parenting journal. So that's the half a book, because there's not a lot of writing in it, really. There's a little bit at the beginning and the end, and most of it is pages for you to fill in. And I'm now writing a book which is very much more to do with what I do in my business, which is called What's Your Story? How to Take Your Nonfiction Book from Possibility to Planned Publication. And it's all about writing a book, writing and publishing and promoting a book. So I've kind of come a little bit full circle now from what just wanting to write a book to writing a book about writing books. So that one's going to be out in the next, well, hopefully in mid-November. Mid-November, I'm planning that one to be published.
So obviously it was the experiences with The Boy from Hell that led to you writing the first book. But you said you always wanted to write a book before that. So what was your original inspiration? Where did that desire to write a book come from?
Oh, gosh. I mean, when I was a child, I read voraciously. You know, I worked my way through all the Enid Blytons and all the kind of popular children's literature at the time, and started on my parents' Agatha Christie's. And, you know, I was one of those kids that always had a book in her hand, would spend all day Sunday upstairs reading in bed. And I used to write as well, but never really fiction. I can remember when I was about 7 or 8, I used to have a little book that was my diary, except it said dairy. I'd cut letters out of a newspaper and it said dairy on the front of it. And I used to cut out headlines from the local, from the newspaper, and then kind of write my own little summary of what the story was about. And I had a, you know, I was fascinated by books. I had a Teddy hospital, and I had a library, and I had a pack of playing cards that were the library cards that went into my books. And then I, when I was a teenager, I wrote a few articles for the local paper. They had a young journalist section in there, and I wrote an article about the new shopping centre that was opening and how it was closing down all the sort of independent shops in town. And I wrote for the college newsletter as well. And so I've always written. And I've always loved books. And I guess I've just always had that thing in my head about, you know, maybe I could write a book one day. And then I started my business, The Proof Fairy, and I was proofreading other people's books. And every time one came to me, I'd be thinking, I could do at least as well as this. Why aren't I writing a book? All these other people are writing books and I'm not. So it was kind of a natural progression, I think. But yeah, the seed for it started when I was very small with my little dairy.
Fantastic. So I'm guessing your writing style, and particularly the process that you follow, has probably changed a lot from planning your own versions of headline stories in your dairy when you were a child to the book that you're writing right now for business. Tell me a little bit about your writing process and how it's changed, because I'm guessing it was different between The Boy from Hell and the book you're writing now about writing books. What are the similarities? What are the differences?
Yeah, well, do you know, I don't think it has. I think The Boy from Hell, I was writing this book. I mean, I know books inside out because I read a lot and I proofread books, and I know what makes a good book and I know what makes a bad book as well, because I get books come to me in all sorts of states. And, you know, I kind of, you know, the greatest part of my job is knocking a bad book into shape. If you send me a book with no mistakes in it that's beautifully written, I'll proofread it, but it's boring, to be honest. You send me something that needs a lot of work and needs a lot of reorganization, and, you know, I really enjoy doing that. So I know what makes a good book, and I know what's a good read. So with The Boy from Hell, I started off brainstorming. It was like, okay, what do I know about ADHD? I want this to be my story, our story, but I want it to be useful for other people as well. So what kind of topics can go into it that I've got experience of that I can kind of tell other people about? So I started brainstorming, and I came up with probably 11 or 12 different topics. There was diet and nutrition and exercise and hobbies and behavior management and all these sort of medication and all these sort of things that came up. And then I went into breaking down each of those topics into the different things that I could include. So it was sort of, you know, are there special diets that you can look at? Are there certain foods that you should avoid? What about food colorings? What about supplements? So I had all these different subtopics, and I kind of put them into some sort of order that worked. And then I kept an online diary. I started it, and there was a site called Open Diary, and I still have friends that I met on Open Diary today. And basically you went on and you wrote about your life. And I started my diary in 2000. When Dan would have been 3. So he was just kind of coming into his ADHD at the time then, really. It was just showing up. And I wrote thousands of words. I mean, I'd sit down every evening and write 2,000 or 3,000 words about my day. God knows what I found to write about, but, you know, there was something in there. So I downloaded the diary and I went through it and I copied and pasted all the bits that related to Dan and ADHD and school and doctor's appointments and difficult days, and I printed it all off. So I kind of had my source material. And then it was a case of looking at this plan that I'd made, looking at these sections and working out where they fitted into the story. So, you know, obviously I kind of told it chronologically. And when we got to the stage where he was diagnosed and he was given medication, that was where I could start putting in the kind of factual stuff about medication. So, yeah, so I came up with a plan, and then I kind of meshed it with my own experience as well. So it's kind of part memoir, but it's also very much a sort of self-help guide to ADHD. Once I'd written that, my good friend Carrie Rose, who had encouraged me to write it in the first place, she said, she was doing this to me all the time. She said, well, now you've done that, do you think you could do it with me? She said, well, now you've written a book, do you think you could help me write a book? And I did what I usually do, and I shrugged and I kind of went, yeah, I guess so. So we used the same sort of system with her. We sat down and we brainstormed and we came up with topics and we came up with subtopics and grouped them into chapters. And she had her own stories that she sort of wove through the topics. And so she wrote her book kind of along the same process that I'd used. So I thought, okay, yeah, I'm onto something here. So I've helped a few people write books using the same sort of technique. And that's basically where What's Your Story came from. That's the process that I use to write it. And it's the process that I outline. So I do have, I won't show you because it's a podcast, but I do have a very scruffy little mind map, which is where I did my planning. And I thought, okay, what do you need to do when you're writing and publishing a book? Well, you need to have an idea and you need to plan it and you need to write it and you need to publish it and you need to format it. And what do you need to do in each stage? So yeah, so it's very much coming up with the topics, breaking it down into sections, and then weaving together the information and my personal experience. And that's kind of how I've written this book as well.
It must be really enjoyable for you taking someone else through that same journey. Did you ever find frustration when you were doing it for yourself? that maybe would have been easier if you'd had someone else coaching you through it the way that you help your clients.
Well, the first thing I did, with this book, I had this plan. I think I planned it in January 2020. I had this little plan, and I started writing, and I wrote 3 or 4 chapters, I think. And then I moved house and it was a pandemic and I lost the plan. And I was like, I was kind of, oh, well, I've lost the plan. I can't write the book now, can I? And so I didn't. Yeah, great excuse. And, you know, I mean, if I'd been working with somebody like me would first of all have said, well, make sure you take a photograph of the plan and make sure you have a backup of the plan. Don't just rely on a scrappy little bit of, you know, A5 paper. And somebody like me would also have said, well, look, you've planned it once. You can plan it again. You know where you're going with this. It's just a case of writing it out again. So, yeah, so. In that instance, I could have done with an Alison to tell me not to be so stupid and stop procrastinating. Once I actually got down to writing the book, I decided to do something, I do it and I move on. I decided I was going to do it. I decided that I could manage to write for half an hour every morning before I started work. So my day is very much take the dogs for a walk, come home, do a bit of yoga, have a shower, make a cup of tea, have some breakfast and sit around and faff about on Facebook for an hour and then do some work. And I thought, okay, that hour, I don't need an hour to faff around on Facebook. Why don't I write instead? So in July, I decided to start writing for half an hour every morning. And of course, once you get going, it kind of turned into 45 minutes, an hour. Occasionally I'd look up and go, oh my God, it's 11 o'clock and I'm still sitting here writing in my dressing gown. But I kind of carved that out as my writing time. And literally in July, I wrote something like 50,000 words for this book, just sitting down every morning. But I did hit a point where I really struggled. I got to a chapter and it just wasn't working. And I kept coming back to it. And I could feel I was starting to lose my momentum. And I was sort of struggling with it and it wasn't going anywhere. And I was starting again and And I think for about a week, I wasted about a week trying to write this chapter. And at the end of the week, I said, right, what would you tell someone else to do? Well, I'd say, just leave that chapter. You know, you can come back to that one later. So the following day, I sat down and I started on the next chapter, got to the end of the book. And then I went back and wrote that chapter again later on. I think I just realized that I needed to research it more. And without the research, I couldn't really write it. So yeah, so I could have done with a me, definitely. It would have saved me a bit of frustration with that chapter banging my head against the desk because the words just wouldn't come. But I got there in the end.
So once a book's written and ready, probably takes more than just it being written for it to be ready, but let's skip ahead for a moment. How do you go about publishing your books? And has that changed with what you're doing for your recent one compared to The Boy from Hell?
Okay, well, this is interesting. So with The Boy from Hell, I'd heard about self-publishing and I'd heard about Amazon doing self-publishing. I was a big Kindle book reader by then anyway. So I used KDP, which was the Kindle ebook publishing, and CreateSpace, which at the time was Amazon's print-on-demand service. They've now been merged into KDP Print, so you can do everything in one place. And yeah, I just put it out on Amazon. So it was on Kindle, it was on Amazon. I bought some copies to sell on my own website. And that was perfectly good enough for me because, I mean, Amazon's the biggest bookshop in the world. Where do I want my book? I want my book on the biggest bookshop in the world. I then decided to write a second edition because there were some benefits and some legal things around ADHD that had changed, and the book needed updating. And I'm not going to name names, but there's a publisher who is a specialist in special educational needs books. I contacted them and said, I've got this book. It's done pretty well. It's got, you know, 70 whatever five-star reviews. I'm going to do a second edition. Would you be interested in it? And they said, yes, they would. So I wrote the second edition and they published it with a new cover, which they did get my feedback on. We went through quite a few covers before they came up with one that I actually liked. With the same title, which they did have some discussion with me about, but they agreed to go with the title in the end. And I was really excited because, you know, they are a big publisher. I get catalogues from them all the time and I see loads of promotion from them. And for about the first 2 weeks, they pushed my book and then they've never mentioned it again. And it kind of went from earning me about £150 a month in royalties when it was self-published, and I was doing the promotion myself, to earning, I think the highest royalty check I got for 6 months was about £120. So it was really disappointing that the royalty rate was much lower, but also I just feel the book's not getting out to people like it was when it was self-published. This book I'm self-publishing. I don't know that I'd ever go with a traditional publisher again, actually. I think I'd always rather be in control of the book myself.
The world has changed a lot, hasn't it? Yeah. In terms of how books work and how the publishing world works as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's more work involved with self-publishing because you do have to organise everything yourself, but you are in control of it. There's the kudos of being a proper published author, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that it's worth it these days. I have thought about putting my book out through Ingram Spark, which basically gets you into bookshops, or the possibility of being in bookshops as well as on Amazon. Amazon now has an expanded distribution scheme, which means shops can purchase it at a slightly discounted rate. And I do know authors who've got their books on the Waterstones website, for example. So I think Amazon is expanding now. You're not just on the world's biggest bookshop. You have got the opportunity to go further afield. So I think I'm probably going to stick with Amazon again and just put it out on Amazon and on Kindle because, oh, who do you know who reads anything other than Kindle? Have you ever met a Kobo reader? Maybe, don't know. But... oh. There you go. There you go. Yeah. When it comes to ebooks, I think Kindle does reign dominance. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with self-publishing through Amazon again because it just works for me.
So when you were writing your book about ADHD and looking back through all of those notes, those old diary entries, there must have been a steep learning curve, not just about writing a book, but about yourself through that process.
Yeah.
What did you learn about yourself when you were writing that book?
It's amazing how much we forget, I think. It's amazing how much we go through in life. Just those day-to-day challenges. I'm not even talking the big stuff now. I mean, I've been through some big stuff as well, but just the kind of day-to-day challenges that at the time feel like such a big deal and it's like such a mountain you've got to climb. And then you read back through it and think, yeah, but I did it and I'm still here and, you know, life carried on and it wasn't such a big deal in the end. I think I realised that I'm much stronger than I thought I am. I'm much more resilient than I thought I am. I can cope with a lot. I can put up with a lot. And I'm very good at juggling things. So not only was I managing a child who had quite severe ADHD, I was running a business. I was at one stage studying for a degree. I was writing a book. And the washing still got done and the kids still got fed. So, you know, it's amazing how much you can fit into life. We kind of think we don't have enough time. But when you look at what you've achieved, actually, you know, you can achieve an awful lot in a short space of time. We just forget what we achieve, I think.
We have a tendency as humans to underestimate the amount we can achieve in a longer period of time, but overestimate the amount we can achieve in a shorter period of time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, yeah, I've got an hour. I can get this work done in an hour, and an hour later you're still looking at Facebook. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, also, yeah, with the new book, first of all, I've been blown away actually by how passionate I've realized I am about books and writing and helping people to write books. And I really hope that comes across in the book.
Yeah, I bet that's something that's just so clear to other people speaking to you about books.
I hope so.
Probably has been for a very long time.
But
it's funny, isn't it, how we can miss that within ourselves when it's so obvious to others.
But it's strange, yeah. I mean, I've sent the book out to beta readers and the feedback coming back has been really good. But even then, I was kind of, well, I still don't know. I've been taking part in a 5-day write that book challenge this week, which has been quite interesting. But the thing that it's really brought home to me is seeing other people asking questions and wanting feedback and knowing how to write books. And I've been getting stuck in there. And I have realized that I'm really passionate about doing this, about helping people, which is great because, you know, there have been times when I thought, is this really what I want to be doing? And yeah, actually, it is. I've realized, well, maybe not sitting proofreading for 8 hours a day. I think I definitely want to move back to the helping people to write books and then maybe having other people help with the proofreading. But definitely being involved with helping people write and publish books is exactly where I want to be. And writing the book has proved that to me. And I'm so knowledgeable. I surprised myself by how knowledgeable I am. There wasn't that much in the end that I needed to research. And yeah, that's the other thing. I think we don't realize how much we know until we're called on to actually put it all down in one place. And it's like, whoa, yeah.
For sure. I know when I've sat down to write just blogs and articles, I kind of think, well, but then if I have a conversation with someone or I have to talk about something, it will just flow. And I'm like, oh, hang on, let me get this down. Let me write this. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the process of writing a book. Your passion seems to stem far beyond just the writing process. What's your experience of what's changed in your life as a result of becoming an author?
Oh, my word. When I was writing The Boy from Hell, I have a friend, Lisa Cherry, who's also an author, and I'd been a contributor to a book of hers, and then she'd written a couple of other books and had kind of gone places with them. She said to me, when your book comes out, be prepared for your life to change forever. And I laughed. I was like, yeah, come on, Lisa. You know, this is just this silly little book that I've written. It's not going to take me anywhere. But it did. So it started off, I had a few beta readers and I contacted a few charities involved in ADHD to ask if they would like to read the book, just to give me some feedback on it. And one of them, the ADHD Foundation in Liverpool, came back to me and said, we love your book. Here's a testimonial review for you to use on the back cover if you want. And would you like to come and speak at our inaugural conference? And I was kind of, what? Hang on a minute. What the heck's going on here? So I kind of said, yeah, okay, I guess so. So I kind of threw myself into it wholeheartedly. I went off and I did a 2-day talk like a TED talker speaking workshop. Put together this kind of 15-minute talk about our story and ADHD and some tips and advice, and then contacted local libraries and said, yeah, I'm doing this talk, I need to come and practice, can I come and practice at the library? And they said, yeah, sure, we're always looking for authors to come in. So I did a local library tour in Oxfordshire. I think I went to 6 libraries, and I think at one of them there were 4 people, and the biggest one was probably about 20 people. And I still don't like public speaking, but I did it, you know, I did it and I answered questions and people seemed to enjoy it. So I'd kind of prepared for this conference and I went off and spoke at this conference. And then that led to all sorts of other speaking gigs as well. So I spoke, one of the nicest ones was to 30 parents in Bristol. One of the biggest ones was to 300 educational professionals at the London School of Medicine. And I was, the whole time I was just like, but this is just me, you know, I'm just Anne's mum. I don't quite know what I'm doing here. But that kind of led on to other things. So to promote the book, I contacted local radio. So I was on BBC Oxford and Jack FM. And I was featured in a few of the local papers. And I decided that I was going to start running some groups, but because I can't do anything by halves, I thought, I know, I'll set up a conference, a one-day conference for parents. So it was one of these ideas I had in the shower. You know, it's like, well, I've thought it now, I've got to go and do it. So I got together a load of people who were experts in, that I'd met through the speaking gigs, who were experts in ADHD, behaviour management, and diet and supplements and all sorts of things, and hired a hotel and ran a crowdfunder that funded tickets for 75 parents and had this full day conference with, I think we had six speakers in the morning and then 12 different workshops running on a rotor in the afternoon. It was a mental event. It was absolutely crazy. But it was really, really, really good. And then I kind of seemed to become an ADHD expert. So I phoned LBC once because there was someone talking about ADHD and kind of gave my experience. And then not long after, there was a story in the news and they phoned me up and said, oh, hey, you're our ADHD expert. Will you come on and have a debate with Peter Hitchens about whether it exists or not? And so, like, this is just insane. I got involved with a local support group. Initially, I went and did a talk about the book. And then I kind of kept going back and never really left, kept going back making tea. And I'm one of the trustees for them even today. So I helped run a parents peer support group. And then through that, there was an invitation for, they were looking for families who would be interested in being in a TV documentary with Lewis Smith, the Olympic gymnast, who has ADHD. And so I said, oh, we could do that. Dan, do you fancy doing that? He said, I suppose so, yeah. Casey, do you fancy doing that? Yeah, I'll come home from uni I get to meet Lewis Smith, definitely. So we applied and he came to our house with his camera crew and had breakfast with us. And then he went off to Dan's school and Dan read a bit of the book and all these crazy things sort of started happening. I then decided I wanted to do more for parents. So I trained as a coach and I started running workshops, did a little bit of coaching of adults as well. And I was still doing the speaking things and all this mad stuff happened. And then I stopped. And then I realized that actually I wasn't enjoying it. You know, I'd kind of been catapulted into this position. I'd fallen into it. You know, I'd not set out for any of this stuff to happen. And I just realized that I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. So now the only thing that's out there is I did put together an online program and that's still out there. So parents kind of can go and learn about ADHD and strategies and stuff. And the book's obviously still out there. But in terms of ADHD, I just stepped completely back from that field. But also it obviously changed my existing business, the Proof Fairy. So whereas I'd just been doing proofreading, I then started working first with Carrie and then with other people, started helping them write their books. And because I'd been through the self-publishing process, I also started helping them publish. So now I offer kind of the whole thing through from helping you find your idea to pushing the button to publish it on Amazon. So so it completely changed where my business was going as well. Whereas I was doing a bit of proofreading, a bit of copywriting, a bit of newsletter design, a bit of web design. And now it's very much focused on the whole process of books from possibility to plan to publication. That's the tagline. So go with it. Yeah, it's been an exciting ride. And I think it's a really good example of where writing a book can take you. You know, you think it's just your little book, but once you start telling people about it, especially nonfiction, I think fiction's probably different, but you know, writing a book positions you as an expert all of a sudden. You know, I'd have people emailing me saying, well, you know, I'm just a mum, not an expert like you are. And I'd be like, I'm just a mum, come on, you know. But but it does position you as an expert and you can take that as far as you want to. So it really does open
doors. The key is in the title, isn't it? An author makes you an authority.
Never thought of it like that. Thank you. I'll add that to my book.
You're very welcome.
Checks in the post.
So what tips would you give to other aspiring authors? So someone's listening to this right now and they're thinking, yeah, but I don't know if that's me. Could I do it? Or they're about to start the journey. Help. Help. Yeah. What do they need to hear right now?
I would say, first of all, yes, you can do it. And if you want to do it, do it. A big thing for me was, well, who's going to want to listen to my story? Who am I to anybody? Why should I be writing a book? we're all amazing, unique individuals, and we've all got stories. And even if there's a million other stories similar to yours out there, they're not by you, and you've got your own perspective on things. So your book is always going to be different, and your story deserves to be told. You know, whatever your experience, your story, your challenge you've overcome, your area of interest is, that deserves to be told. So just do it. Have a plan. There are people out there who can just go, oh, I'm going to write a book. I've written a book. But I think if you've got a plan, then it makes it that much easier, because when you sit down, you know what chapter you're on. You know what's going on in that chapter. You've hopefully done any research that you need to do beforehand, and you can just sit and write because you know what you're doing, basically. It's much easier to, you know, to fill in a blank page when you've got an idea of what's going on it than when it's just kind of starting from scratch. Don't be afraid to. One of the things people do is I think they think writing has to be very formal. They think writing has to be this kind of, like writing an essay at school kind of thing. And people get very hung up on grammar and spelling as well. I'm lucky, I'm cursed, I'm not sure. You know, I'm one of those people who can spot a typo from 50 paces. So my spelling and my grammar and my punctuation is pretty okay. Fortunately, given that I do proofreading for a living. But, you know, I think a lot of people get hung up on, well, you know, I'm not very good at spelling, I'm not very good at grammar, I'm not really very good at constructing a sentence. Well, that's why editors exist. So just write it down or dictate it. And it doesn't matter how poorly structured it is. Just get your thoughts down on paper. And then you can rework it and rewrite it and give it to somebody else to kind of knock into shape later on. It's just getting your story out there.
And even if you are good at, you know, proofreading, it's a very different art. And the approach that you take mentally to going through and checking and proofreading, mm-hmm. doing grammar and that side of things, has a tendency to actually kill and quash the creativity that comes from the flow of writing.
Oh, gosh, so yeah.
Trying to do two jobs at the same time, they trip each other up, right?
Definitely, definitely. I think a lot of people seem kind of write a paragraph and then go back and edit it. And it's never going to be perfect. There is no thing as perfect as far as I'm concerned. You know, my thing is there's no thing as perfect, and good enough is good enough. But you can keep editing and editing and editing. And if you do that, you'll never get past that first paragraph, because it's never going to be what you want it to be. So, you know, you just need to sit and write, and don't worry about what you're writing. Don't edit it. Don't even look at it. I mean, my books, I've not read them back until I've got to the very end. And then I've gone back and read them through. And yeah, I found inconsistencies along the way. But I think if I'd written chapter one and then gone back and read it, I'd have spent the rest of my life fiddling with chapter one to make it perfect. And I would never have gotten to the rest of the book. So just get into your flow of writing and go with it. Yeah.
I imagine even with factual books, by the time you're writing chapter 12, actually going back, once you've got a complete book and looking at chapter one, you're going to recognize different things and probably think about it in a different way than you would if you were just focusing on one chapter at a time, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you get an overview. You know, once you get to the end, you know what you've written, and you can kind of check that everything is consistent all the way through. The other thing is, don't get hung up on a title or on writing the introduction. You know, I did talk to someone once who said, I really want to write a book, but I haven't started because I don't know what to call it. It's like, call it whatever you want, you know, call it book draft one, call it my fabulous best-selling book, call it what a load of old rubbish this is. It really doesn't matter. You know, mine was saved as book one for a very long time. And I think I've probably just about settled on the title now, with 2 weeks till it comes out, but maybe not quite, you know. And also the introduction. How can you introduce something you haven't written yet? You don't know what your book is. You might, even with a plan, you don't really know what your book is going to be about until you've finished it. So you can't be introducing it before you've written it. So, you know, leave the introduction till last, because otherwise you'll just get hung up on that, and you won't get any further.
Nice. So calling it book one, does that imply that you're planning a book two? What's next for you? Tell me about that.
Oh, gosh, what's next for me? Well, I don't know if you've heard of NaNoWriMo. It's National Novel Writing Month. And it happens in November. It's been happening for, I think, about 15 or 20 years. And I started NaNoWriMo in 2011. And I think I got to about 3,000 words and then life got in the way. I started again in 2012. Actually, writing The Boy from Hell was, I decided to be a NaNoWriMo rebel and do a nonfiction book rather than fiction. But again, I had only actually written about 20,000 words of it, and the goal is 50,000. And then I've never gone back to it, and I've always wanted to. So this year, 1st November, I will be sitting down and writing my first novel. Well, there's the erotic one, but forget that. My first proper novel, which is provisionally called Escaping the Hive. And I will be writing a 50,000 word novel in 30 days in November. So that's my next book.
Fantastic. So where can people find you online? Where can people find out more?
Best place to find me online is my website, which is www.theproofairy.com.
Excellent. So just to summarise then, the top tips for budding artists out there. Number one, do it. You can do it. You want to do it. The best thing to do is to start doing it. Make a plan. Have a plan. Doesn't matter if you stick to it properly, but have a plan in place at least. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about formatting. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about proofreading as you go. Leave all of that till the end and come back to it, or better still, pay someone like you to do it.
Definitely.
And finally, leave the intro till last. You don't really know what the book's about until you've finished the book.
Yeah. And then once it's out there, be open to the opportunities that could come along.
Excellent. You never know how it could change your life.
You never know how it will change your life. Yeah.
Alison, thank you so much for coming on your own podcast and allowing me to play the role of interviewer for you.
Thank you. You've done a wonderful job. I think I might have to employ you more regularly to interview my guests for me.
Hey, that works for me. We'll talk salary afterwards, right?
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Duncan.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and I look forward to listening to it back.
Thank you to Duncan for being such a great host on the show today. You can find out all about how he puts people to sleep on his website, www.mindaffinity.co.uk. My new book, What's Your Story? How to Take Your Nonfiction Book from Possibility to Plan to Publication, is out in November, and you can pre-order it on Kindle now. So get yourself over to Amazon to reserve your copy. You can find out more about the book and how I help other authors write and self-publish their books on my website, www.theproofairy.com. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with details of how you could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed listening, then please subscribe to the podcast, share it, rate it, and tell your friends about it. And I'll give a special shout out on the show for anyone who leaves a review. This has been a Proof Fairy production, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.